In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. There is a commandment that St. Paul tells us in Romans 12 that says, weep with those who weep. Weep with those who weep. And this commandment is a great commandment that we all ought to practice. And perhaps we find this commandment a little bit easy to practice because we can empathize with our brothers and sisters who are suffering, whether they've lost loved ones, whether they're sick. It's easy for us when we see someone who is going through a difficult time and who is suffering to weep with them and show them and give them this shoulder for them to lean on and to weep on if needed. However, there's a similar commandment that is far more difficult for us sometimes to practice. And this is rejoice with those who rejoice. Rejoice with those who rejoice. In the Gospel of today, we heard that after the birth of John, it said that the people, says they rejoiced with her. It says when her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. They were happy for her. You might say, well, this also is a commandment that is easy to fulfill. We rejoice with those who have children during baby showers. And we rejoice with those who are getting married in wedding showers and wedding ceremonies. We rejoice with others in birthdays. And rejoice with others when they graduate from high school or from college or anything else. And sometimes we even rejoice to the point where we assimilate ourselves with those who succeeded. Those of us who were up, you know, with the score, or what happened last night, the Texans won and advanced, right? So those who are fans of the Texans would say, we won. We won, but I didn't play in the game. But we assimilate ourselves with them because we live in the same city. So we're rejoicing with the team that won last night. It's easy to rejoice with others. However, there's sometimes it's more difficult to rejoice with others. And this is what I want to speak about today. The times where we feel perhaps it's a bit more difficult for us to rejoice when other people rejoice. These admonitions are not just nice things to do, to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. These aren't just things that are nice for us to do, but they actually have to do with our unity with Christ and with one another, to rejoice with one another and also to weep with one another. So I'll speak about two quick points this morning. I'll give some examples or scenarios in which sometimes it's hard for us or difficult for us to rejoice with others. And then I'll give just a couple of pieces of advice on how we can practice the virtue of rejoicing with others. Number one, we might find it difficult to rejoice with others if their success seems to come at my expense. I have difficulty rejoicing with someone else if their success comes at my expense. If we both succeed, fine and well. But if they succeed at my expense, I find it very difficult for me to rejoice with them. We feel sometimes that we are more deserving than others, and that my work ought to be recognized perhaps more than others. Perhaps there's somebody in my group, whether it's at school working on a project or at work doing a project, and somebody else in my group gets recognized. Sometimes I find it very difficult to rejoice with them because of the promotion they received because of this project, when I feel that I myself did more and more quality work than somebody else. So we find it difficult to rejoice with others. And this is centered around the idea of that I feel there's an injustice. Just like, the kids when they say it's not fair. We do the same thing as adults. We say it's not fair, but we say, okay, this is unjust. Where I should be getting more of the credit, or I should have gotten that raise. So sometimes we feel it's difficult to rejoice with others when their success seems to come at my expense. We also find it difficult to rejoice with others when there is jealousy that is involved. Jealousy is defined as resentment against a rival, a person enjoying success or advantage. And this arises not from the desire that my work be recognized, but rather that another is recognized above me, that somebody else is getting more recognition than I am getting. This, a great example of this is King Saul. King Saul enjoyed the service of David in his palace, used to play him music, made him feel well, and all of these things. And the time came when they came against the Philistines, and none of Saul's men nor Saul himself could defeat Goliath or come against him. And when his servant David said, "I will go and I will face him because he defies the God of Israel," and he went and defeated Goliath, the people then began to clap their hands and say, "Saul has slain his thousands." So Saul has gotten some credit. He's slain his thousands. And David his what? His 10,000. Ah, it's more here. What happened then? Then Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him, and he said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?" So Saul eyed David from that day forward. He asked himself, what more can he have but the kingdom? So he thought because David killed 10,000, all what he needed was, or all what was left for him was the kingdom. So the two most important things to Saul was the praise of the people. Or this was the most important thing for them. And when the people praised him more, this put in him the spirit of jealousy. And when we're jealous of someone else, it's very difficult for us to rejoice with them and to be happy for them when they succeed or are blessed. Nowadays, you know, with the influx of social media, part of what the social media is doing is creating more jealousy among our brethren. We spend our time looking at Facebook and Instagram and all these things, and we begin to grow and deeper jealousy of one another because of what we see on Facebook and what people post. People even post pictures of themselves to make other people jealous. Perhaps I'm posting things, or somebody can post things online that aren't really true, but its purpose is to make other people jealous, to make me look better. I want to get back at somebody, so let me make them feel jealous. Jealousy. We can never rejoice with someone else if we are filled with jealousy. And like jealousy is also the sin of envy. Also the sin of envy. Envy is defined as painful or resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another, joined with a desire to possess the same thing. Kita, if you want to, in the plain English, it's when another person's gifts, or another person has gifts that you desire and they are on display or they are praised. So if somebody has a gift and you desire that same gift, perhaps it's my own weakness, and I desire that same gift, and that gift in somebody else is now being praised or being recognized, then I have what's called envy. I have envy. This is exactly the situation between Rachel and Leah, the wives of Jacob, right? The wives of Jacob. Jacob loved whom? Rachel. But Leah was given to him first by deception, and he really didn't like Leah, but he wanted Rachel. So God looked at this, you know, poor scenario, and he had compassion on Leah and gave Leah children first. And the Bible says that Rachel was barren. It says, "Now when Rachel saw that Leah, she bore more, bore to Jacob, that she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, 'Give me children or else I die.'" So it says what here? That she envied her sister because she bore children. That which she desired but was deprived of, and she saw in somebody else, this was the sin of envy. Again, how can we rejoice with someone when we envy them, when we're filled with this envy, right? Had perhaps Rachel rejoiced at the birth of the children, things may have been different, right? But we can't rejoice with someone if we envy them. If I, you know, desire to buy a certain house and somebody else goes and buys that house and I'm filled with envy, how can I rejoice with them? I find it very difficult. I might put a mask and a smile and say congratulations, but deep down inside I might be filled with envy, right? And I can't really rejoice with my brother and sister. And as I said from the beginning, this affects our relationship with one another and with God. We are all one body with one another. We ought to rejoice with one another and weep with one another. Lastly, we find it difficult to rejoice with another when another person's joy reminds me of my own deficiency. I find it difficult to rejoice with another if their joy reminds me of my own particular deficiency. Perhaps the news of someone getting married doesn't bring me joy because I have the same desire and have yet not attained. Perhaps my son or daughter is accepted, or my neighbor's son or daughter is accepted to the college of their choice, yet my son or daughter is having difficulty getting into college. Perhaps a co-worker excels in an area in work that I find trouble. Perhaps my fellow student or classmate is excelling in the class that I find difficulty excelling in. When somebody else's joy and success reminds me of my own deficiency, sometimes we find it difficult to rejoice with them. So the question is, how do we rejoice in others? How can I practice and overcome all of these difficulties and challenges and rejoicing with another or rejoicing with others? Three things, really easy. Number one is learn to not compare. Don't compare yourselves with others. Rather than comparing yourselves with others, compare yourselves with the standard. For example, in school, if I'm in school, I compare myself with the bar. The highest bar is 100%. So this is my target. It's not simply to get 1 point higher than my neighbor. No. But it's to get the full marks, right? Same at work. If this is a standard of practice in my work and the excellence of practice in my work, this is what I'm measuring myself against. To be the best person, the best engineer, the best physician, the best driver, the best whatever it is that I do. Because this is the standard. Not just to be better than my neighbor. God gave all of us different gifts. He gave some gifts, some wages, some talents, are all diversified. Why are they diversified? Listen to what St. Paul says to the Romans. He says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." Underline here, individually members in one another. "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." So this was God's plan, to have in us a diversity of gifts that we might complete the one body. And what good is a gift? What do I do with this? It says here, St. Paul says, to use them. To use them. How do we use them? He'll explain in Corinthians, he says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." So the gift that I'm given, that God has given me, is given for the purpose and the benefit of everyone. But if I take this gift and I want to use it only for myself and grow myself, then I'm not using it in the way that God had originally planned, that it might be for the benefit of all. I want to point out here on the side note, I really like this part in this verse, just as a side note. St. Paul says here what? Not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly. So actually, St. Paul is saying here, the people who think of themselves too highly, they're as what? They're as if they're intoxicated, right? They don't think soberly, right? Taban, if I think of myself more highly, then it makes me yani not be able to share the gifts with others. And then it affects yani the group. St. Peter also echoes the same thing as St. Paul. He says, as each one has received the gift, minister to one another as good stewards in the manifold grace of God. Manifold here means like a variety or varied or diverse. So the diverse grace of God. So each one of us has received the gift, we administer to one another and complete this body and to serve one another. This was actually the problem with the laborers in the first, remember the parable of the workers in the vineyard? There were those who came in the first hour who were hired for one denarii. And those who came in the 11th hour, the end of the day, right? And they were given the same wages. This was the problem of those who came in the beginning, in the first watch, in the first hour. They were hired at a price, and they worked all day, and they were given the wages that were due to them. But they found they couldn't rejoice with their neighbors who worked just 1 hour of the day, at the 11th hour. They couldn't rejoice with them. But it says what? They complained saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and heat of the day. The Lord said to them, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did we not agree about the denarius that you received? Take your denarii and go your way. And then he says, if I wish to give to the last man the same as you, is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? Or is your eye evil because I am good? If we compare with one another, and we live in this comparison with one another, I begin to say of God, is your eye evil because you don't look at me the same as you look at somebody else? And he'll turn and say, no, my son, I'm distributing to each one according to what he needs and what I see is right. And then each one will be responsible for the gift and the talent that he receives to minister it to one another, that the body of Christ might be complete, lacking nothing. Everything is not a competition, my beloved. It's not a competition. We're here working as one unit, as one group, as one family, towards the kingdom of heaven. The second thing is not to... the first was not to compare. The second is to be content with your portion. Be content with what God has given you. God has given you, you know, what is for you and you alone. If I was given more, perhaps this would be to my hurt and threaten my salvation. And perhaps the same, if I'm given less, this might lead me to despair, right? We pray in the prayer in the Agbeya, in the 12th hour, and in the evening services in the church, there's a prayer that begins, graciously accord, O Lord. In this prayer, we pray what? Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according to our hope in you. We're asking God to give us His mercy according to our hope in His mercy. Okay? Then He says, for the eyes of everyone wait upon you. So all of us were saying, Lord, that we're waiting upon you for what? For you give them their food in due season. Lord, you give us our food in due season. And in this prayer, we're asking you to give us our portion of food in due season. Give it what is best to us in due season. If you give a child meat as an infant, this isn't his food in due season. But if you give it to them when they're a young adult or when they're, you know, toddlers, then this is in due season. This food now will be used not as a health hazard, but as something that will build and let them grow to full health, right? So the psalmist also echoes the same thing in Psalm 104. He says, these all wait for you, that you give them their food in due season. That you give them their food in due season. So perhaps when we're having trouble being content with what God has given us, let us say this prayer. with a full heart and a sincere heart, Lord, give me my portion of food in due season. Lastly, I'll tell you, if you're having trouble rejoicing with others, is to pray for them. Not to pray that God take their blessing away from them, so your jealousy goes away or your envy goes away. No, but on the contrary, ask God to multiply their success. In the beginning, this might be difficult. It might be very challenging and might be very painful. But continue to pray. Pray them and pray it and pray it and pray it. And you'll find that God will give you rest and their success. And whatever spirit of envy or jealousy that is within you will be taken away out of the act of love of choosing to pray for them, and that God multiply their success. I'll end with a quick story. There were two pastors in a church once in a city. One of the pastors his church was getting, you know, very, very big. The other pastor was like jealous, like, why is it, well, he does nothing different than me, you know, why is it his church is growing and not mine? So he tried this last principle, it says, I'm going to pray for him. So he started praying for this other pastor that God multiply his ministry and his church get bigger and bigger and bigger. And certainly it did. It got bigger and bigger and bigger. And the guy's thinking to himself, wow, my prayer is really working. It's multiplying his ministry. And then what ended up happening is he ended up finding that his parish began to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And he found out when he went to him, and he went to this pastor, and he told them, you know, I've been praying that your ministry multiply. And he said, you know, yes, it's multiplying to the point where we can't accommodate them, and I'm sending them your way. So in turn, his parish grew because he was praying for the other pastor. But continue to pray for those whom we have problems or trouble rejoicing with, that God multiply their success. May God grant us all the spirit of rejoicing with one another in sincerity and truth, so we may fulfill the commandment to weep with those who weep and to rejoice with those who rejoice. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.